All right.
Got about 5 minutes. What else do
we need?
Yeah, that's
good.
Guys, after the sending out, we'll just do a low key version of the last verse there. Just going back into amen.
Just straight ahead.
Yeah, just straight ahead. At 80.
Uh huh.
That's it.
Send four.
I'll set up Creator of the Stars.
It's not. Last time it was long for communion. Is it the same?
This is for a congregational sing.
Okay, so it's not communion.
Yeah, there's no extra anything. No.
Giving hope to humankind. Great.
I will not tell you to buck up, to tough it out.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the table. My name is Mike. My pronouns are he and him, and I am the wannabe member of the pastoral team here. I'll be transitioning gradually over the next 6 months to becoming a full member of the pastoral team, joining Pastor George Dominguez and Pastor Kelly Love. And I think it's important to acknowledge that this is Pastor Kelly's first official Sunday as a member of the pastoral team. Yeah. And we thought it would be good for all three of us to be here and worship and help lead on this first Sunday of this new year. So it is good to be together with all of you, whether you are here in the sanctuary or joining us online. It is good to be community together. This is also in addition to being the first Sunday of a new year, the Sunday that we celebrate Epiphany Sunday, where we remember the biblical story of those travelers from the East, sometimes referred to as wise men, other times referred to as magi, who make the trek to seek out the infant Jesus because they need to bear witness with their own eyes to the new thing that God is doing in the midst of the world. And so we remember that story and that journey as part of our worship life together today. So I want to invite you to stand in body or in spirit as we move into our time of worship and participate in our call to worship. You are welcome to join into the parts designated for all. In the dark of morning,
the stars still shine.
In the depth of winter,
the birds still fly.
At the start of the year, tender and new,
God is here, God is near.
Do not rest in your fear.
God is here.
So like the stars and the birds, and we will stay standing as we join together in our first song led by our music team, a traditional one for this particular Epiphany Day, We Three Kings.
Travers afar, field Good morning. My name is Kelly, and my pronouns are she, her, and I invite you to be seated as we join our hearts for our time of prayer.
I will not tell you to buck up, to tough it out, to ignore the fear rattling around in your chest. I will not tell you that all shall be well, or that morning will come quickly. I will not ask you to march into danger without first repeating your name in my prayers. But if fear stops you in your tracks, if fear makes it hard to breathe, hard to move, hard to think, then I will remind you that even one step with shaking knees is a step toward home.
Stars of night, your people's everlasting light. O Christ, Redeemer of us all, we pray you hear us when we call. Darkest night, you came, beloved's splendor bright. Not as a king, but a child, a Mary virgin, mother mine. Come, oh.
Well, thank you. You can be seated. Good morning, everybody. My name is Lisa Wegley, and my pronouns are she, her. Y'all are here on the absolute best Sunday ever. It's the first Sunday of the year, so yay. And even better is today is where we get to pick our word. So for those of you who have been coming here annually, every year we pick a word that we focus on, give some intention and some clarity to this word throughout the year. So last year my word was potential. And potential, like what the heck do you do with that word? So if you draw a word and you're not quite sure what to do with it, don't put it back. Keep it. It means you're going to ponder on it, right? So potential to learn, potential in others, potential in myself, potential in a situation. So just remember that your word is going to be carried with you throughout the year. Alrighty, kids, it's almost time for godly play. So caregivers, just know, before we sing the song, caregivers know that afterwards you're going to pick your kids upstairs if they are grades K through 6. If you have a little small person, we have childcare, loving childcare, available back in the A-frame. Okay, we're going to sing a song to y'all now, and then you get to head off to some fun. Music
There's
team.
A new verse, because it's Christmas, and Christmas lasts a while. So let's look up at the screen for the second verse. We got new lyrics here. Here you go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Walking time, see me shine, kind and bright, I'm a ray of sunlight.
Christmas time.
Christmas time, Christ is.
Beautiful. Thank you, music team, for writing that song and singing it. All righty. Well, it is that also time of the year where we invite you to consider making your deep commitment gift. So don't forget, our deep commitments help us live out ministry, live out God's mission in our community here and about. And so if you haven't had a chance to make your deep commitment, here's a QR code. You can do that here, or you can also go online to do that. We also are still accepting gifts for our Christmas offering. Our Christmas offering, we split between two projects, the Global Ministries and also SSIP, the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership. And of course, SSIP is where we have our food bank, where we support them and help where they support families that are low income, who are struggling, who are immigrants, to help them have food on the table, to be nourished. And of course, Board of Global Ministries, that is the United Methodist Global Mission Team that goes out all over the world to help those in need where they know the need is needed. So your funds would be going there. You can, of course, find that also on our website if you're interested in making that gift. Okay, this year our team once again will be joining other volunteers with Habitat for Humanity and will be building homes in Citrus Heights. That's going to be happening soon, and in fact we have a full team coming on, I think it's the 31st, yes, January 31st, completely filled up our slots. So whoever's going, thank you. Thank you for being there for others and helping them get a roof over their head. If you're interested in joining Habitat for Humanity, there are 5 spots left for the February 6th workday. So if you're interested, please, please sign up. All righty. I'm going to now invite us to kind of put our feet firmly on the ground, sit back a little bit, and we're going to take an intentional collective breath together to prepare ourselves. So here we go. Yeah, thank you. So we're going to go ahead and remain seated. We have a beautiful song coming up called Song of the Magi. This is a beautiful song. It's about the Magi's journey through the realities of displacement, borders, and conflict. It holds together beauty and brutality, asking what it means to welcome love into a world still marked by fear, and where hope might be found when the journey home is not safe or simple.
Amen. Thank you so much, music team. Thank you. My name is Bob Martinez. My pronouns are he and him. Our reading this morning is from the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verses 1 through 12 and 16 through 18. And again, I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." Now when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go also and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they then set out there and then. Ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more.
Good morning. As we come to this end of this worship series, I greet you all. I greet those who are online. My name is George Dominguez. My pronouns are he and him. And it's good to be here this first Sunday of the year. But I have to confess to all of you that it was hard to prepare the sermon this week. It was a full week of emotions and a lot of things happening in the world that we cannot totally put aside, even though these are the times when we remember and we are always hoping for the message of Christmas to be present in our lives and in the world. We are experiencing and living a familiar tension. I couldn't sleep Friday night. It's too close to home. Some of you met my son last Sunday. He is now in Colombia visiting his girlfriend and her family. And what's happened in Venezuela is not surprising. We have seen that so many times, and that's when I start to think, gosh, I'm getting old. But I didn't lose some sleep because of the fate of Maduro, who is a tyrant, who has oppressed his people, or the legality of the empire's action. what I was remembering was that since 2015, there have been 8 million people from Venezuela who left the country. Almost a third, a third of the population. Because of persecution, because of hunger, because of starvation and survival. 3 million of those are living in Colombia. 1.5 million are living in Peru. Only about 500,000 living here in the United States. I also remember that in 2016, the Methodist Church of Boa Vista, a city in the north of Brazil, close to the border of Venezuela, started seeing the numbers, the waves of Venezuelans, refugees who were coming into town, entering Brazil, and from there going elsewhere in the country and other countries in Latin America. And they had to start and respond. So part of the gift, the Christmas gift money that we are giving to Global Ministries has supported that ministry that is still going on as of today, 10 years later. I remembered that this year, the Temporary Protection Service that was started by the Trump administration 6 years ago, was canceled. And the Venezuelans were the first wave of expedite deportations to Honduras and then back to Venezuela. People who are in fear of going back there or were in fear of going back there and have mixed feelings about what's happening today. I also remember that it is always the most vulnerable who bear the brunt of war, of violence, not the empire, not the tyrant. And if this seems to be too much politics, just read the Bible. Christ has been born, angels have sung, light has entered the world, and yet Herod is still in power. Violence has not ceased, empires still rage, innocent lives are still crushed by fear turned cruel. We have been accompanied by Reverend Dr. Boyoung Lee in this Advent and Christmas season, and she names the truth with clarity. We arrive at the end of the Advent Christmas in Christmas journey, and yet the world steam brims with violence, uncertainty, and fear. The birth of Christ has not silenced the heralds of the world. That recognition can be exhausting, and I was exhausted this week. It can tempt us toward despair, toward resignation, toward asking, what difference does hope really make? Matthew's gospel does not deny that temptation. Instead, it places it in the center of the story of Christmas. You see, in Western imagination, the Magi appears as harmless figures, three kings, colorful robes, carefully wrapped gifts. Matthew does not give us such a sentimental scene. The story is under the empire. Herod is not a background character. He's central, infamous for his paranoia and brutality. The scholars don't find historical records of the killing of the children. But he killed three of his sons because he was afraid they were going to take him from power. His reign was marked by surveillance, coercion, murder, and Matthew insists that Jesus' birth happens within this reality, not outside it, not in a total protected, nice scene outside. It is a political and a theological narrative. Herod embodies power that is anxious and brittle. He rules by force, by manipulation, by fear, the moment he senses is a threat. And then he schemes. And when he fails, he kills. Matthew does not soften this story. He includes the massacre of the innocents, equaling Pharaoh's genocide in the Exodus, to show clearly that empire does what it does when it is exposed. But let's be clear. The Magi do not belong in that story. And that is the point. They are outsiders. They are Gentile astrologers. They are coming from the East. They are not religious leaders of the Jews or religious insiders. They are not political elites, even though Christian tradition later made them this nice three kings. And yet, they are the first ones to recognize the significance of Christ. They are called, in Greek, the Magoi apo Anatolon, the Magi from the East. Matthew does not specify how many came. Matthew does not say if they were men or women, or what's their status. We just know that they were Gentile astrologers. And in the Zoroastrian tradition, which is probably where they came from, both men or women could hold this title. Matthew doesn't do this story a nice story about them because their presence disrupts boundaries, disrupts the boundaries of who was going to be there to pay homage to this new child, the king that is born in a manger. It's like what we heard from Pastor Greg a few weeks ago. The shepherds were the outcast in that society. Epiphany is one of radical inclusion, of inclusion of those who are at the margins or who are from outside. The Magi should not be there, and yet they are. They follow a star, they cross borders because they are led not by certainty but by hope. We want to see this new king of Israel. Fear could have stopped them, fear of the journey, fear of foreign lands, fear of imperial retaliation, but it doesn't. When they arrive, they kneel before the child and offer gifts. But we want to see what that means exactly. Because Matthew says it's not just devotion. Matthew is actually pointing to us that it is also defiance. They named Jesus King of the Jews, and I remember when they wrote asking me, what were those guys saying going to Herod and said, where is the king who is going to replace you, and what would he do? That terrified Herod. And by kneeling in front of a vulnerable child, they make that public declaration. The order of the world is upside down. It's not just devotion. It is defiance. It is resistance. They refused to place their trust in the empire. They aligned themselves with a different kind of power, one revealed in fragility, not force. That is what courage looks like in a fearful world. And after they encounter Christ, they are warned in a dream and told to return by a different way, by another way. And this is not just logistics. Remember last Sunday we were talking when Joseph and Mary and the child came back from Egypt. They knew that the son of Herod was still in power, so they went by another way. Dr. Bo-Yung Lee says that this is the power of epiphany. It's not merely a moment of recognition, but it is a beginning of a new path. This other way is not just to travel through another way, it's to begin anew. It is to refuse to cooperate with Herod's violence. They do not report back. They do not comply. They choose responsibility over obedience to empire. Epiphany does not eliminate the danger, but it changes directions. It calls for discernment when obedience would be easier, and it calls for resistance, for imagination, sometimes faith. Being faithful means refusing the road that we are told is inevitable. Faith is not only about what we see, it's actually about where we go next. So, the fear doesn't disappear, and it doesn't win. Matthew doesn't resolve this story neatly. The story doesn't have a happy ending. After the Magi left, that fear that Herod experienced explodes in horror. Children are slaughtered. Rachel weeps. The grief is real, unresolved, ongoing. And yet, Matthew frames this with a larger promise. The words of the prophet Jeremiah that come as a promise spoken to a people in exile, there is hope for your future. Dr. Bo-Yung Lee says that the question then is not whether fear exists, but what we do with it. Do we freeze? Do we flee? Do we move forward as the Magi did? Do we take action like Joseph did, refusing to let fear be the end of history, of the story? We are coming to the end of the Christmastide, the season when we celebrate Jesus' birth. And we stand today where the Magi once stood, between revelation and the risk, the world that is really scary. Temptation to give up is real, and grief is heavy. But the Magi testified that fear does not get the final word. They rather leave us with questions. And these questions are the ones that we have to be thinking when we are answering, when we are picking up this card and seeing what is the star word that's going to draw and guide us through this year. Who are the Magi among us now? Those who are willing to cross boundaries in search of truth. Who are the Marys holding fragile hope in dangerous times? And who are the Herods terrified that their power might be unmasked by the light? Dr. Lee invites us to imagine faith not as safety, but as a movement. She says, epiphanies are not always warm or personal. Sometimes they are disruptive, even dangerous. Sometimes they lead to confrontation with empire. Sometimes they ask us to cross borders. Sometimes they send us home by another way. In the face of fear, let us travel together. Let us defy empire, not with swords, but with solidarity. The gospel does not promise safety. It promises presence. It promises Emmanuel, God with us. It promises that love is stronger than fear. And we should not pretend that the world has changed overnight. We do not ignore the grief, but we also do not stop seeking. There were other things happening this week. 37 organizations were banned from Gaza to provide support to the children there, including Doctors Without Borders. But there was also inauguration of a new mayor in New York City that was celebrated as a sign of hope. The world is a very complex place today. And we are invited to go into this world because Epiphany is not the end of the road. It's the moment when we realize we cannot walk the same way anymore. So may we go to our home by another way. Fear doesn't stop us, but love leads us forward. Amen. Here at the table, gathering at the Lord's table, there is enough room, enough food, enough love for everyone here. And you are wanted and welcome. You are safe and loved. You belong. So, my friends, there is no need for fear here, because this is a joyful feast, and you are invited. Come. We are all welcome.
Friends, on this Epiphany Sunday, we stand at the start of a new year, and there is nothing better about a new year than the chance to begin again. This is exactly what we do in a prayer of confession. We speak honestly with God, and God surrounds us with grace. We are able to begin again. So may we start this new year, this new season, this new week, with God's grace. Let us pray. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit. Let us begin again. Ever-loving God,
we long for Christmas to usher in a season of peace and joy. However, we know that is not how the world works. Even just days after Christmas, we find ourselves face to face with fear once again. So today we pray, forgive us when we allow fear to stop us in our tracks. Forgive us when our fear prevents us from following your call. Forgive us when fear is louder than love. Show us how to turn our fear into action. Show us how to leave the Magi
who search for you in a fearful world.
With hope we pray. Amen. family of faith, whether you are brave and courageous or fearful and timid, God loves, for you knows no end. So join me in this word of forgiveness. Whether fear inspires us to action or stops us dead in our tracks, God's love for us is boundless. We are seen. We are surrounded with grace. We are sent to serve. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you. We invite you to share a symbol of peace with those nearby. Peace.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
The stars, like the Magi, we come to this place searching for you. So today, just like every day, we ask that you would remove any barricades that keep us from your spirit. Clear out distractions, wipe away the doubt, open up our hearts, and speak to us through these ancient words. And as you do, we will keep walking. As you do, we will move toward you. And then, like the heavenly hosts, we will sing our thanksgivings.
Holy One, we pray for courage in a world that is rattled with fear. Fill our hearts with courage. Show us the places we can make a difference. Quiet the voices of comparison and doubt. Silence our imposter syndrome. Fill the sky with stars and guide our steps so that, like the Magi, we might walk toward you in courage. And as you continue to walk with us, we will remind each other of your presence in our world, and we will sing a new song.
God before us, with hope we place one foot in front of the other. With hope we look to the stars. With hope we gather every ounce of courage we have. With hope we reach for each other. With hope we choose to keep walking. Instill this hope and good news in us, for this is a joyful feast.
And with the confidence that propels us, we pray together the words that Jesus taught us to pray. This morning, we share a version of the Lord's Prayer written by the Anglican priest Jim Cotter and adapted for the New Zealand Prayer Book. Eternal Spirit,
Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name, through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Loving God, pour out your Spirit on this table, on this simple bread and juice, remembering the simple meal Jesus shared with his disciples, as he continues to share with us today. For the thing we fear the most is distance from you. So draw near to us here at this moment. Fill this room with your Spirit and this table with Jesus' love. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people. To those of us who have a lifelong practicing of celebrating communion, or those who are new to this practice, and everybody in between. All really means all. We encourage those who are at home to light a candle and gather bread or juice in whatever form you might have. Please know that if you are online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or any denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table. We are all invited to participate. We'll have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back. And each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers, and juice is always present in our cup. We invite you to take a piece of the bread or a cracker, dip into the juice, and eat it. And also, we hope that you will take a star wort after you take communion. They will be placed here in the table as well as at the table in the back. And if you want also to take one of the Christmas gifts that we shared with the congregation, the stone with the hope engraved on it. You can also make your way to the sides and pray with the candles for as long as you desire, or return to your pews when you are ready. Let us move together with tender care in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and bread of life, broken for you.
This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thanks be to God, the bread of life for you, Kelly, and the cup of life that is given to us. Thank you.
For folks who received communion in the back, the star words aren't back there, so you can feel free to continue to come forward to receive a word, whether now or toward the end of the service also. Let us pray. Loving God, in a world racked with fear, you gather us together. You set the table. You meet us here. You nourish our bodies as you nourish our spirits. You remind us that this is a joyful feast and that fear cannot win every time. So with renewed courage, with renewed hope, with renewed joy, send us out into the world. May these star words be a map, guiding us to look under every rock and around every corner, seeking you out everywhere, because everywhere is exactly where you are. With gratitude we pray, amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to join us in giving generously to support the ministries at the table. The generosity of our community allows us to invest in God's unfolding call on our lives and align more deeply with God's healing love and justice. We encourage you to make a gift today by placing a check in the offering plate or by giving online at thetableumc.org. You can still participate in the Christmas offering that allows us to that is designated to support ministries locally through the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership Food Closet and globally through the global ministries of the United Methodist Church. As we're sent out carrying the light meant to be shared, as we go, we trust that even small acts of courage and love can illuminate the world. Let's stand in body or spirit and sing This Little Light of Mine.
Amen. 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 This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Show my love. I gotta tell you, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go,
I'm gonna let it shine.
I got to let it
everywhere I go.
Everywhere.
Let it shine.
It's fragile. It can be put out, but it gives light, and we can carry it on and light each other along the way. So let it shine. Let's go and make it shine during this year. Amen.
Amen, baby.